views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Radio, everyone. This is Katina Makris. Wonderful show today. We are recapping that fabulous event, Lime in the South Music Fest, that I was a part of in May. We just visited with, as you can tell, the ultra passionate and ultra intelligent Melissa Bell, who was such a primary figure in helping create a beautiful event. And as you can hear, fantastic work she's making happen in Florida in terms of Lyme disease awareness. But also with us at the festival, who I immediately fell in love with, a very beautiful soul, a wonderfully talented musician, is Elisa Turner. And Elisa Turner has a remarkable story to share with us about her Lyme disease journey. She has also gorgeous music, which we're going to be playing on Limelight Radio because Elisa's sending me some CDs. And I have to say, you know, there's a lot we could read in your bio about you, Elisa, but I think what I'd like to do is let's just get into conversation and have you share with us a little bit about yourself. Your story with Lyme disease is so profound. Can you just set up our listeners so they understand who you were before you got sick and then what happened with Lyme disease and what your journey was like?
My childhood was pretty normal and happy, and but right around elementary school, my mom all of a sudden noticed just a night and day difference. I went from healthy, happy, bouncing off the walls personality to very withdrawn. I went from head of the class to the bottom of the class. I had so many sudden, like, onset of learning disabilities, and they wondered, you know, did I have autism, or, you know, I was always being taken out and tested, and just my sudden, you know, initial symptoms weren't the typical flu-like joint pain. I mean, it was all neuro for me. So I spent many, many, many years. I mean, we, you know, neuro symptoms just didn't make us run off to the doctor and get a Lyme test. And at the time, we were in Virginia, and, you know, not much was known about it in that area. So we just kind of went through life, and I felt like I just tried to do the best I could. But as the years went on, fatigue and more memory problems, a lot of GI problems. And it wasn't until I was 24 years old that I finally started getting answers. And throughout all that time, I had kind of just, as best I could, just turned away from all the symptoms and tried to focus on pursuing music. Music was something that captured my soul at, I don't even know how young. I've just always been captivated by it and mesmerized by how it can just make you feel something. And when you're struggling and suffering, sometimes you just need to feel something peaceful and hopeful, and that's what music is for me. So I gravitated to it so much and spent years on the road even before my actual diagnosis. Because
you worked with some amazing producers, didn't you? And songwriters. I mean, when I'm looking at your bio, you were with Robbie Steele and Don Schoffer and Carrie Barlow who was with Taylor Swift and Carrie Underwood, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're just amazing.
I worked really, really hard, and despite feeling absolutely miserable, when I kind of caught on to the fact that the doctors weren't going to figure this out, I just said, you know what, forget it. I'm going to just throw myself into music. And, you know, just, I did so much researching on my own and very easily came to the conclusion that things like chronic fatigue and fibro and all those other kind of diagnoses were really just symptoms, and that the doctors had no idea what was going on. So I just kept writing and touring, and it was exhausting. I remember a lot of people would say, you know, I don't know how you can be sick and be on the road, but those moments on the stage just gave me such energy and adrenaline and passion to live, and I needed that because when I was off the stage, it was not pretty.
I know. Isn't that interesting when you are a performer? Because, you know, I speak publicly, like that's, you know, one of the things that motivates me too. There is something about being in that channel of openness and receptivity where you're really bringing your work, your message, you know, your creativity down through your whole self and out your being to others, that this whole energetic process some people think, oh my God, isn't it exhausting? But at another level, it's filling, isn't it?
Oh yeah. I mean, it is exhausting. I mean, especially for those of us who just pour ourselves into it. But the connection you make with somebody else and the difference you can make, one of my favorite things is walking into a show and you kind of see the audience before and they're maybe a little just distant and maybe a little stiff and, you know, not talkative much. And then by the end of the show, it's like I'm sitting in front of a room of different people. I mean, it's so cool how what we do can kind of change how they're, you know, just how they're presenting themselves and how they're feeling. And you can really tell that what you did meant something to them. And that is the coolest thing. For sure.
It's the coolest thing. And you are so awesome at it. When I saw you performing and I felt you and your gorgeous energy and your magnificent voice and that fabulous songwriting, I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, this is like incredible creativity. Wow. And the energy you brought to that audience the day I was there with you. I mean, I just saw people who were sick really like coming to life before our eyes, like, you know, like almost like a magic spell, you know, was cast upon them. Alyssa, you are amazing.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. And, you know, but there's deep tragedy in your story too, because you pushed so hard and then you really dove down, didn't you?
I did. I definitely got to a point where my neuro symptoms, I mean, my fatigue and pain and all that fun stuff, not fun stuff, was pretty bad. But my memory issues had gotten so bad that I could no longer get through my shows because I would just, I'd forget everything. I'd post-it notes all over my piano. But I still couldn't get through the show without forgetting things or losing, you know, my train of thought and word jumble, mumble kind of issues. So I went off the road and I just poured myself into researching and reading and studying and trying to figure this out. Went through a couple years of integrative medicine, still stuff that I do to this day, but I started out with an integrative doctor and, you know, for years, even we didn't together get to the diagnosis of Lyme. For years, we just, you know, covered heavy metals, fungal, parasite, hyperbaric, antimicrobial, just vitamin C, IVs, that whole world of wonderful stuff. But I just kept, I'd get better, then I'd fall back. I'd get better and fall back. So we were like, okay, we got to, you know, dig deeper. And we learned about IGNX and we're like, hey, what the heck? We'll give it a shot. And set my blood work off and I was positive for Lyme and Babesia. So then I turned back my research on and found Dr. Jemsek, who's my Lyme doctor, and still with him to this day, but the first couple of years, it was pretty rough. I got very, very, and I knew this would happen. I knew if I had to leave the road and leave that thing that was keeping me going, which is music, I knew this disease was going to take me down, and it did. I mean, I had a feeding tube placed. I could no longer talk, walk, swallow. I couldn't hold my head up, so I couldn't even sit in a wheelchair. I mean, I was just in bed. My muscles had wasted horribly, and it was definitely the lowest, hardest point of this journey, for sure.
It's decimating, isn't it?
Yeah, it just took everything. It took everything. And I mean, they, you know, they were honest. Dr. Jemsek told my parents, He didn't know if I would make it. I mean, it can really be that bad, despite, you know, what others might read on the internet. It really can get that bad. But I honestly, I mean, just, I think because I had that passion for music, and everybody has a passion, like you in public speaking, and somebody else has a passion for teaching or kids or, you know, cooking or whatever it is. And mine was music, and that really, that was like the light at the end of the tunnel. It still is, and it will always be. It's something that just drives me, something that comes from within me and kept me going, kept me dreaming and believing and hoping that I would get through this and get back to that stage. So,
isn't that so true? I really have seen that time and again with the people that I work with individually and within my own journey. That it's when you connect with that passion, that peace, that life purpose, your work in the world, what you want to contribute to mankind, what you're here for, and you hold on to that amidst all of this devastation and agony. If you can just hold on to that little tiny glimmer, that gives you hope, and that hope inspires your willpower. And those are inner healing tools. Those energetic states, they help us move through these treatments and the debilitation. So I am so happy to hear you be able to share that piece with us, that is what people need to hear as they're struggling and floundering. So is hold on to that passion, no matter what it is. Elisa, stay with me. It's time for a station break. But let's come right back, because we're right into the heart of a great piece of conversation here with you. Listeners, stay tuned. This is Limelight Radio with Katina Makris. We'll be right back.
A long time coming, but I know a change.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer, and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Makris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit LimelightRadio.com.
Welcome back to Limelight Radio, everyone. This is Katina Makris, and we are visiting with the beautiful, talented Elisa. I thought, oh my gosh, here is an angel. And you really are such a survivor. I mean, this story, you know, this went on for more than a decade, didn't it, with you, you know, tragically ill.
Yes, it was a very long time. I mean, when it first started out, it was just minor issues and symptoms, but it grew and grew. And that's the thing with Lyme, is if you don't treat it, it's not going to go away. It just gets worse and worse and worse. So, I mean, it took, I would say, at least about 15 years until I got into the hands of an integrative doctor, and then spent even just a couple years doing integrative holistic therapies before I even found out that it was really Lyme, and many problems, obviously, that Lyme causes were attended to, but that Lyme was kind of the biggest elephant in the room that needed to be addressed. And so met with Dr. Jemsek and started IV antibiotics pretty soon, and was on them for about 3.5 years. I still have my port, and I'll still do IV therapy from time to time just to kind of keep everything in check. And I still do a lot of integrative and alternative therapies. I mean, I've really found that it's a group effort, a team effort, I call it, to getting well. I mean, you've just got to address each area, you know, killing the infection and detoxing out, healing the body, you know, revising it, addressing problems and damage that may have been done. And each one of those is so important.
It's so important.
Back on your feet. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one without the other, you're just going to end up in a bad place.
It is. You know, I have this expression, you probably heard me say it at the festival. I believe that Lyme disease is the infectious epidemic illness of our era that asks us to marry. It asks us to marry the two hands of healthcare, the diagnostics and pharmaceutical tools of traditional allopathic medicine with the restorative therapeutics of natural medicine, because two hands working together are better than one.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. I'm so thankful that I stumbled onto all the integrative and holistic stuff first and had all that going into, okay, well, I still had to go on years of really aggressive, you know, antibiotics, which, you know, before that I was with holistic practitioners who would never touch an antibiotic, understandably. I mean, they definitely have their side effects and problems, but you know, when I got to the point where I could no longer swallow, I was like, okay, we need to be a little more drastic. So, you know, antibiotics definitely played a big role for me, but it was a piece of the puzzle.
It was a piece of the puzzle.
Yeah, everything had to be in place and be addressed. And
don't you feel sometimes like it's almost like, you know, like a guided, you know, oracle or something, like if you pay attention and you listen to your intuition and you follow these instincts, you get into the right hands of the right people?
Yes. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, just listen to your body. Your body's talking to you and letting you know what it needs. And definitely,
So now, as you started to improve, did your songwriting start to bubble forth?
It did. I mean, that was one of the most, probably the most difficult things, was because, I mean, from the get-go, my symptoms were cognitive, you know, just an array of cognitive problems. So that was the most devastating for me. I mean, I lost, you know, physical abilities at time. I couldn't even go to the bathroom by myself. But to lose the ability to think was devastating for someone who, you know, had this passion to write music and songs and put on a show. So that has been the hardest thing to get back, because it was just the longest symptom. I mean, my brain just took a nosedive from this disease for the longest time. My body, like for me, it healed. My body healed a lot faster than my brain. So it's been slow. And I've had to do a lot of work. I, you know, even just exercises, getting your muscle memory back, and you know, because we spend a lot of time in physical therapy and getting our body to a good place, but our brains need a lot of help too. So I've spent a lot of time working on with therapists, trying to get my, you know, cognitive and memory issues a thing of the past. Hopefully, one day. But I still use a lot of post-its and, you know, always have cheat sheets and things ready to help me if I get a little stuck. But it's going better, getting better. And I just don't, you know, there's so many speed bumps and dead ends and, you know, just places that, you know, you're going and things are going well. And then all of a sudden there's like, you know, you kind of hit a wall. And I almost just expect that with healing from this, so it doesn't totally catch me off guard. But I know a lot of people struggle with that. They start feeling better, and then all of a sudden they get taken down by, you know, an infection or a flare or toxicity. And I think if you just know that it's going to be a bumpy road and it's going to be long. I mean, treatment has been so long for me, but I have my eyes fixed on what I'm going towards and what I'm going to do, and however I get there, I'm going to get there.
Good for you. That's so important. Setting intention and holding vision and using your will to get there. Those are three powerful inner healing tools that we have, survivors of the world, whether that's, you know, war-torn victims, floods, illness. Those are three ingredients: vision, intention, and willpower and passion. You can move yourself forward. So now tell me, what was your experience like at Lyme in the South? And we're going to be doing more of these events together, Alisa. Aren't you excited?
I am like overjoyed. It was the most amazing thing to sit up there on the stage and put on a show that, you know, I had done, you know, hundreds and hundreds of times, but for the first time ever to sit in front of a crowd of people who have walked in the very same shoes that I've walked and who understood my songs, because so much of my music has come from my journey with Lyme disease and the difficult moments and the moments I overcame something and the moments I felt something was overcoming me. And so to sit there and sing and connect with people who weren't upset that I didn't have happy-go-lucky songs every single, you know, because I get a lot of, well, can you write some happier songs? And I'm like, sure. As soon as I have, like, a happy streak in life, they're coming, and they are. But for a number of years, it was suffering that, it's that saying in the Lyme community, if you don't get it till you get it, you know, you just won't understand until you walk in, you know, this journey and battle this disease and all the variables that come along with it. So, but it was amazing to sing for them. What an amazing Lyme community, and the leaders of it just blew me away with their hearts. They had so much heart put into this event, and it was so cool to see how moved and motivated and just encouraged people were after this whole event.
It was really, it's tremendous. And I'm very proud, and I'm sure you are too, to now be partnered with Ticked Off Music Fest. And we'll be bringing these venues around the country. We've got Annapolis, we've got LA in the making, we've got New York State. There's talks of lots of them happening around the country. It's going to be a very, very powerful, dynamic, and healing experience for people to join us as we move around the country and probably the world together, Alisa.
So cool. So amazing.
So
you know,
cool.
This passion that we both held on to and worked towards, and now we're being able to use it to help people who we understand what they're going through quite well. So
what a great combination. Doctors, inspirational speakers, and music, all healing, all for the Lyme community, all raising money for Lyme disease research and for awareness. So, Alisa, it's very sad to say our time is up. I want people to visit your website. They've got to get your music. Can you give us that information?
Yeah, I mean, you can just go online. Alisa Turner, if you go to iTunes and just type in my name. And then you can check out tour dates on alisaturner.com, as well as Facebook. I have a music site and a personal site. You guys can add me to both. And I'm also on reverb.com/Alisa Turner. So if you just Google Alisa Turner, you'll just find all kinds of fun stuff.
Awesome. And it's Alisa's A-L-I-S-A Turner, TURNER.com. And as you said, all of those different resources to find you. Alisa, thank you so much for joining me. You are such a shining example of recovery, of creativity, of beauty, of vision. My honor to have you today on Limelight Radio and to share the stage with you at Lyme in the South and on future venues together. Thank you for joining me.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
Truly my pleasure. Audience, I hope you've enjoyed our show today. Our archives are always available at limelightradio.com. Join us next week. This is Katina Makris with Limelight Radio.
You've been listening to Limelight Radio with Katina Makris. Tune in each Wednesday at 1 Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Get ready for some of the most provocative conversation with leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. If you've missed any part of this hit radio show, visit LimelightRadio.com. That's LimelightRadio.com. We'll see you next week on Limelight Radio with Katina Makris. Then I go to my